In May of 2019, Health Secretary Matt Hancock called for help to deliver the government's promise to halve childhood obesity over the next 10 years. According to current estimates, 10% of boys and 9% of girls are starting primary school obese, and experts warn that children gain weight at a drastic rate when they're at school. As a response to the government challenge, MicroScooters undertook research with a team of experts in biomechanics, child development, fitness training, podiatry, physiotherapy and athletics. Today they released the findings from the Play for Life report. What are the findings? Well, Martin Haynes, who's a biomechanics coach and a chartered physiotherapist, has been looking at the results for us, and he joins me now. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Simon.
Now, first of all, anything really stand out for you in this Play for Life report?
Yeah, I think the stats that you just mentioned, the 10% of boys and 9% of girls starting primary school obese, but then when you look at year sixes, the 11-year-olds, that almost doubles in most regions. It is a real concern that not only are children starting school obese, but also they're getting worse as they get into school. There are obvious health issues and problems around that. But also when you look at the cost implications, they're massive. England spent $6.1 billion on overweight and obesity-related illnesses last year. So as well as a health issue, there's a big financial problem as well.
And of course, often we set the path for our adulthood, don't we, in our childhood?
Yes, the habits that we learn when we're children usually follow us into adulthood.
So tell us a little bit about the findings of the report then, because it seems to sort of go a little bit against the grain, because it's talking about not the amount of exercise, but more about the type of exercise for under fives.
Well, certainly the amount of exercise is relevant. The government have recommended 180 minutes a day. I think it's just a recognition, really, that sometimes that's not achievable. So what is the best way of making best use of the time you've got available? And the evidence is coming back now about learning essential movement skills. So just like you learn your ABCs when you start to read, you learn your ABCs, your alphabet, then you learn words and sentences and paragraphs, and then you get onto books and you start to get more engaged in what you're reading because you're better at it. It's exactly the same principle with movement as well. Get the basics of movement right, which gives children the opportunity to have a much more positive experience with exercise as they get older, and they're more likely to do it then.
I mean, I know my own experience at school, I wasn't a confident in sport, in most sports, and that did affect my approach in a lot of ways, because I was always envious of the kids that were really, really confident.
Inevitably, that's exactly right. And I think one of the key things to come out of what we found as well is that children should be provided with activities for which they're ready. An individual child has difficulty performing a particular task, like standing on one leg, there's no point asking them to play football. Because you have to stand on one leg to kick a football. It's about understanding what that child is ready for, understanding what they enjoy doing, and then engage them in that activity to practice it, become better at that fundamental skill, and then progress them individually rather than chucking everybody together and playing football or rugby or whatever it might be.
Now, obviously, that's at school. What about before school? Because surely, I know the report mentions something about adults being involved in the fun and the exercise. Preschool, adults and parents have got a lot that they can do with this, haven't they?
Absolutely. I mean, they're the only people that are impacting upon what their children do, getting them into the right habits. And you do see, going into restaurants, a family of four sitting there on their phones, not really engaging. You see children playing in a park with their adult playing on the phone. It's really, really important for the adults to engage in the children's activity. The children are much more likely to engage in physical activity if the adults are there and with them. So you could imagine going for a cycle or a scoot in your park together as a family. And the children will respond to that. They engage much better if the parents are involved.
This is more a lifestyle thing, though, isn't it? Is it a change in our popular culture over the last 20 or 30 years?
Yeah, I think it is a lifestyle thing. And I think if we can get those habits right when the children are younger, their lifestyle habits will be ingrained for when they get older, for sure.
You know, cycling was big when I was young. I loved cycling, and my dad loved cycling. And we cycled together, and that was something that carried on into my adulthood as well. Always loved it.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of an obvious thing to say, but it's not always in the forefront of your mind. As a parent, what you do and say and how you act has a profound impact on the children.
So where should we start with this then?
Well, I think there's a lot of websites out there that gives you some really good information about what you can do and how you can do it from an activity point of view. There's a particular one on Microscooter's website called Play for Life, which gives people some real good practical advice on how to make the most of the 180 minutes that the government are talking about, different activities for the children to do. If you don't have 180 minutes, what can you do with the time you've got available? And also it simplifies the science so that when adults are reading it, they kind of understand it better, they engage more with it, and therefore more likely to pass that on to their children.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Martin, as a coach, now there are going to be some children who are going to be overweight anyway. I mean, I remember growing up, there was a certain boy in my class who was well overweight. Mm-hmm. He was the fastest runner in the class.
Really?
And I met him 2 or 3 years later after school and didn't recognise him, and he had lost all that weight. Is there such a thing as puppy fat?
Yes, there is. I think that naturally as you gain height, then that will all balance itself out. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And some people do have that, but we're talking about obese kids here. That isn't puppy fat.
Right, so it's just to make a definition on that.
Right, yeah.
Well, it's certainly interesting, and it's something that's very important in our way of life. Martin Haynes, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for your time, Simon. Nice to meet you.